Amen. I appreciate those specials tonight. And I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 3. I've heard it said that if the devil could get rid of one verse out of the Bible, it would be this verse. It's probably the first verse that you ever learned or memorized. And it is a great verse, a powerful verse, and a very useful verse for those who would like to bring others to Christ. We've been learning about being a greater witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, having a greater personal witness. And I've been trying to challenge you the last few weeks that you would get involved with our organized outreach, that you put your name on the list out there, sign up, find a partner, let us help you find a partner, and get involved. Make a commitment that by the grace of God, every week you'll go out and try to share the gospel with others, make follow-up visits and phone calls and different things. And I just want to encourage you in that again tonight. Listen, if you're physically unable to go knock on doors, we'll set you up here to make phone calls or to write letters. There are thousands of people in our surrounding community that need to hear the gospel, and there's a lot of ways to get the gospel to them. And we need everybody to be involved. And I've also challenged you that you say, well, preacher, I can't go on Monday nights. It's the worst day of the week for me. I just can't do it. Well, you find a partner. You and your partner can set a different time. You can go on Tuesday mornings or on Thursday nights or whatever works for you, and make a commitment to get out and go. We cannot not be a witness. We just can't. It's not an option. We can either be soul winners or we can be disobedient, but we can't be anything else. And I know I keep that challenge before you, but it's biblical. I have a hard time studying my Bible without seeing a commandment to go and share the gospel, or about seeing examples of others who went and preached the gospel. It's kind of what the book's all about, if you haven't figured that out yet. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about sinners like you and me being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, I'm so glad that Jesus saved me. And I want to see other people get saved. And that's what I'm trying to preach to you about tonight. But this evening, and so the challenge is out there again. The sign-up sheet's still on the table right out there. There's a pen laying right on top of it. There are blank spaces for your name. And so we want to encourage you to make that commitment. I know that you don't like to make commitments because you know sometimes you fail. But I'm not talking to you tonight about making a New Year's resolution. I'm talking to you tonight about making a commitment to be obedient to the Word of God. I'm talking to you tonight about making a commitment to be obedient in what God has called us to as a church. Our job as a church is to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And so if you're part of this church, it's your job. But even if you're not part of the church, it's your job, if you're saved, to go and share Christ with others. And so John 3:16, if you're able, and I know I've had you stand up a bunch tonight, but it's okay. If you're able, please stand to honor the Word of God. You know, standing up isn't really what it's all about. It's about reverencing it in your heart. So let's listen to the Word of God. Many of you have known this verse since you were a wee little tot. But I want you to understand something today. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's powerful. And don't ever let it lose its sweetness to your soul. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father in heaven, thank You for Your Word. Help me tonight to challenge You, Your people. And Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. Forgive us when we're not the witnesses we should be, either by our words or by our deeds. Lord, change us and help us, Lord, to make a greater commitment to reach others with the gospel. Thank You so much for those who have been saved these past few weeks and months and even years, Lord. We're so thankful that You reached us with the gospel, and we pray that You'd help us to reach others. Please help us to be faithful in planting the seed. Help us to be faithful in watering the seed. And God, we look for You to be faithful, as we know You will be in bringing the harvest. And Lord, we just pray that You'll get all the glory from what we do here tonight. Help, for I'm nothing without You. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, please be seated. So tonight I want to try to give you some practical things There are so many different ways that we can share the gospel with others, but the important thing is that we would share the gospel with others. And I can't tell you that there's one way to do it. I've told you before, I've studied so many different evangelism classes. I had evangelism classes in church. I've had evangelism classes in seminary. I've had evangelism classes on my own. I've read books, and I've studied videos, and I've taught classes in so many different ways. There are a lot of different approaches, if you will. But here's the end of it all. The gospel is the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we understand tonight, Romans 10 teaches us very plainly that people cannot be saved if they don't hear the gospel. Amen. People cannot be saved if they don't hear the gospel. Amen. And if we don't go and preach to them, proclaim to them the gospel, they won't hear it. And if they don't hear it, they can't believe it. If they don't believe it, they can't call on Jesus and be saved. But they can call on Jesus and be saved if they believe the gospel, because they heard the gospel, because you went and told them the gospel. Amen. People, that's exciting. Amen. Sister Brenda, does this gospel still work today? I forgot to have church share time. Man, we'll do it later. I'm telling you right now today that if you will step outside of your comfort zone and you'll do something crazy like this and say, hey, did you get one of these? Did you see that? Hold on, I'll do it over here on this side in case you guys missed it. Hey, did you get one of these? There's a natural thing. When you do it like this, try to hand somebody something, they'll automatically try to grab it. It's crazy. I mean, you just put it, see, every time, it doesn't matter. One of my favorite things to do is ask somebody when I hand it one is to say, hey, will you read this when you get a minute? Because a lot of times people are busy. You're going through the drive-thru, people are working, they're working at the checkout or whatever it is. You just say, well, you read this when you get a minute. And it's an amazing thing. Almost every time I ask somebody that question, they say yes. And I don't believe them, so I say, will you really? And I'm telling you, most of the time when I drive away, they'll open up the track and be looking at it. Amen. And then the person behind me in the drive-thru's mad. But but they're looking at it. They're interested. Sometimes people mess up and ask me what it is. What is it? It's a gospel tract. It tells you how you can know for sure that you have eternal life. So I don't know if you're taking notes. Some of you like to take notes, and I want to give you some scriptures tonight. Lord willing, we're going to get some tracts, some new tracts printed, and we always want to keep things fresh, to keep things new. We've given out thousands of these. You can amen that. That's good. We've given out thousands of these. A lot of people, they see them coming. You know, hey, did you get one of these? They're like, yeah, I got three of them sitting right here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're going to get some new ones printed up that look different. So we can say, hey, did you get one of these? And they'll go, oh, no, I don't have one of those. It's the gospel. Amen. But we want to get it out there the best we can. I think gospel tracts are one of the greatest tools that God has given us. And what a blessing we have in this day. I mean, listen, you might not always get the chance to sit down and share the gospel with somebody, but, man, you can almost hand a gospel tract out anywhere, anytime, any place, and it's a blessing. Amen. To be able to do that, to leave the gospel in somebody's hand. So how do we go about this business of trying to share the gospel with people? How is it practically? I mean, I've tried to preach to you. I've tried to tell you that hell is still real. And so we ought to be a witness. I've tried to tell you the time is running out. We don't have very much time in our personal life. We don't have very much time, I believe, just as a church, as human beings. I believe that we are living in the last days, technically been living in the last days for a long, 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 long time. And the Lord said in the last days, people are going to say, they've been saying that forever. And you know what people are saying? Man, they've been saying that forever. It's just another sign of the times, and we live in those perilous days, and people, listen, friend, we don't have much time, and Jesus is still the only way. So I've been trying to challenge you that you'd have that burden to share the gospel, but how do we do it? How do we do it? Number one, if you're going to share the gospel with someone, you have to talk to someone. Now, some of you, let's just be honest tonight. Can we be real? Let's be honest. How many of you just really don't like people? If you raise your hand, just really don't like people. Yeah. Appreciate your honesty. Thank you. How many of you don't like preachers? No, don't. Some of you just don't like people, and I get that. How many of you have a hard time talking to strangers? Most of you. So I understand that. I get that. I wasn't born that way. God never gave me that. I have never met a stranger. I'm still waiting on a visit from a police officer I met in New York one time. I mean, I was like, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, and I gave him directions to my house. You know, I've never met a stranger. I've always liked people. I like meeting new people. I like talking to new people. So that part's not hard for me. For some of you, it's going to be much harder. But it's an amazing thing that happens. When you talk to other people, they'll talk back to you. Now, a lot of you are intimidated by other people. You think other people are scary. You think other people are mean. You think other people are hateful. And sometimes that's true, but I've been amazed by this. Some of the people that are the most intimidating to me, if I would try to halfway smile and say, hey, how's it going today? They will look back at me and say, good, how are you? Amen. There's some scary looking people in the world today, and it's an amazing thing. Here's the deal, though. People who look scary, they think that you are judging them. If somebody that looks different than you thinks automatically they feel judged by you just because they're different. Just like you feel judged by other people sometimes. And it's an amazing thing. You can just get rid of all that by being nice, smiling, and saying hi to somebody. Amen. It's incredible. And so I just want to encourage you, everywhere you go, wherever you go, whatever you do, smile and say hi to people. Now, don't have some cheesy, scary, creepy smile. But a real, genuine smile. That God's been good to you, you're saved, you're going to heaven, and you want to be nice to other people. Amen. Listen, if we can't be nice and happy, then who in the world's going to be? I mean, we got the most to be happy about, don't we? Amen. And so, number one, talk to people. When you go to the grocery store, when you go to Walmart, when you stop and get fuel, when you go to school. Some of you guys are back in school. There's kids in your classes you've never even talked to. You get with your own little clique. You never talk to anybody else. You need to get out of your comfort zone. You need to go talk to people. Say hi to people. Ask how they're doing. Those of you guys that are at work, you know, go sit with somebody else on your lunch break. Go out of your way just to talk to people. That's it. And when you start talking to people, let me give you some help. You say, well, I don't know what to talk to them about. When you want to go talk to somebody for the very first time, you need to learn to talk to them about their very favorite thing to talk about. You know what that is? Amen. It's themselves. You get somebody comfortable when you just ask them about themselves. Where are you from? You've been here your whole life? What do you do? When we go out knocking on doors, there's all kinds of things that are around. You just pay attention. If the lady's got a really nice flower bed, I guarantee you she will love you if you'll ask her about her flowers. Some of you guys that know a lot about cars and stuff, I mean, somebody's got an old classic truck sitting out in the driveway. If you want to be his friend, you ask him about his truck. I mean, you just know. I mean, you see stuff. The guy's got 15 fishing poles leaning up in the garage when you walk up to the house. I mean, there's something there maybe. But you just talk to people and get comfortable. Now, there's this thing in the world today in Christianity today called friendship evangelism, and it says you got to be friends with somebody before you can witness to them. And I just want to tell you that's not the case at all. You can build a rapport with somebody in just a few minutes. So talk to people. Get them to talking. Get them feeling comfortable with you by talking. And by the way, we really ought to care. Amen. I mean, if we're there to share the gospel with them, or if it's a coworker or a classmate, and we're talking to them about them, we really ought to be interested in them. I mean, if we're interested in them being saved, we probably ought to care about the rest of their life, too. And so talk to them. But here comes the tricky part. When you talk to somebody, and after you've been talking to somebody for a little while, at some point, you're going to need to try to shift things to the things of God. You're going to have to shift things from talking about fishing to talking about spiritual things. Now, for me, I'm just going to be honest with you. I can talk to anybody. So far, I haven't met anybody I couldn't talk to about something. If it gets bad enough, you just talk about the weather. Man, it's been hot. Amen. I'm ready for fall. Amen. Anybody else ready for cooler weather? Amen. Yeah, everybody else in the community is too. And when you say, man, I'm ready for some cooler weather, they'd be like, yeah, man, I am too. But I can talk to them about a lot of stuff, but then it comes to the place where you've got to shift things to the spiritual, and that's not always easy. Sometimes that's hard. That's why I love these awesome things called tracks. You know how this is awesome? Because it says Calvary Missionary Baptist Church on the back of it. It's got a picture of the church on the front of it. Even if it didn't have all that on the inside, when they open it up, it's full of scriptures from the Bible. Amen. If I give somebody one of these, you know what I've automatically done? I've just shifted things to the spiritual. Amen. Listen, Jesus, he sat down on the well and he talked to the woman about water. And before long, he was talking to her about living water. Amen. Jesus was the master. He could talk about anything and switch it to the spiritual. He's pretty good at that. Right? Because, you know, he's God. And he wrote the book. So I'm not that good at it. I need help. So I take little pieces of paper that have the book in it, and I give it to people. And automatically, that's why I love gospel tracts. It's such a great tool. But I've got an advantage over most of you guys when it comes to sharing the gospel and switching things to the spiritual. Because when I meet somebody, I can ask them, what do they do? And they'll tell me, I work down here at this factory, or I'm a plumber, I'm an electrician, or I do this, or I do that. And sooner or later in the conversation, they say, well, what about you? What do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. Bam! Switch things to the spiritual. Do you see that? It's so awesome. And I get that. So sometimes it's not that easy, but somewhere along the way, you can bring up church. Hey, do you have a Christian background? Hey, do you have a church home anywhere? You go to church anywhere around here? Were you raised up in church? I mean, listen, let's face it, we still live in the Bible Belt today. It's not much of a belt anymore, but we still live there, and most of the people around here have some kind of background in church. Amen. And so maybe you use that to bring it up. But we've got to switch things to the spiritual. And once we switch things to the spiritual, I believe that asking questions is the greatest way for us to get into sharing the gospel with people. Listen to me. Questions stimulate the conscience. Accusations harden the will. I'll give you an example. When I was just getting started, I told you guys this before, but you like to laugh at me, so I'll tell it again. Man, I still to this day, I get so nervous. And I'm just be honest with you, when we used to go outreach, door-to-door, visitation, whatever you want to call it, I would literally be thinking in my mind, please don't be home, please don't be home, please don't be home. I'm walking up the sidewalk to the front door going, please don't be home, please. Because I had this thing in my mind, I could leave a track in the door and my conscience felt better. I felt a little eased. I can't help it they weren't here. I left them the gospel. What else can I do? But I would be so nervous. I'd be so scared. And one day I walked up to this lady's house. I knocked on the door. And much to my surprise, she opened the door. And my heart's about to beat out of my chest. She's scared of me anyway, which I don't really know why people act scared of me. But she acted scared. She had the door open. She opened the screen door just a little bit. And I was so nervous. I said, do you know if you die without Jesus, you'll go to hell? I didn't get to leave a gospel tract. I'm not even sure if I posed it as a question. I just think I told her, if you die without Jesus, you're going to hell. And for some reason, she closed the door. Kind of quickly. I don't know that that's really the best approach. So after that, I try to talk to people for a little bit, conversation going, then switch things to the spiritual. And then ask a question. There's a lot of questions you can ask, and I think at the end of the day, we just got to be spirit-led. But you might ask somebody, are you 100% sure that when you die, you'll go to heaven? Do you know for sure when this life's over, you'll be in heaven with God? I told you before, I love to ask people the question, if you were to die today and stood before God in judgment and God said to you, why should I let you into my kingdom, what would you say? These questions stimulate the conscience. Because I want to tell you something. There are a lot of people around here that have never given it a second thought. They've never thought about whether they're going to go to heaven when they die. They never thought about what they're going to say to God. They just kind of somewhere in the back of my mind figure it'll all work out in the end. And you and I both know that it's not all going to work out in the end unless they have Jesus. And they're not going to have Jesus unless we share Jesus with them. So we ask the question, what if you could know beyond any doubt that when you die, you'll be in heaven? A lot of people I talk to say, well, you can't know that for sure. Nobody knows for sure. But 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Amen. Only God knows whether I'll go to heaven or not. Yeah, God knows, but you can know too. Amen. You can know that you have eternal life. Well, how are you going to know that? And so we get into the gospel. We get into the gospel. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, God loves you so much, he did everything so you could be saved. God wants to spend eternity with you. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be born again. He did everything so you could be, but there's a problem. There's a problem called sin. Now, I want to say this before we go too much further. There are a lot of people in Christianity today that I think err, and I've probably erred on one side or another off and on throughout my ministry. There are some people who make the gospel too hard. They make it too hard. They expect people to have a full understanding of the gospel, to have some incredible emotional experience. They expect there to be like, you know, like Saul's conversion, you know, like lights from heaven and voices from heaven and angels singing. And I mean, they expect this huge thing and these people to just really be doctrinally sound the moment they're saved. And they expect too much. On the other hand, there's people who try to make it too easy, I think. You know, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. And there's no repentance. There's no understanding of sin and judgment. And so I think if we're not careful, we can make it too hard or we can make it too easy. The gospel is simple. Amen. Just don't make it anything it's not. Here it is, friends. We're sinners. Amen. We're sinners. Amen. And there's a penalty for our sin called death. But not just death, the second death. Where we're separated from God forever in the lake of fire. But God loved us so much that he made for us a way to escape that punishment and have eternal life. And the way he did that was by taking our punishment on himself. It's not complicated. We're sinners. There's a price for our sin. Jesus paid the price, and we must repent and believe the gospel to be saved. Amen. Buddy with me? So how do we do this whole thing? Talk to people. Talk to people about their favorite thing themselves. And then take the conversation and switch it to the things of God. Now, don't misunderstand me when I say talk to them about their favorite thing themselves. I think we really ought to be concerned. And if we don't really care, they're going to see right through that. Amen. So we care about people. We want to know about people. And then we switch things to the things of God. The easiest way to do that is with gospel tracts. And then we ask the question, do you know for sure you'll go to heaven when you die? 100% sure. Do you have 100% assurance that you're saved? However you want to say it. If God were to say to you, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? Whatever, but ask a question to stimulate their conscience, and then you can get into the gospel. And the gospel is simply this. Everybody has sinned. We've all broken God's law. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The problem is our sin. Now, I told you it's not just enough. I really don't think it's enough for us to just say everybody's a sinner. I think we ought to make it personal. And that's why I love using the Ten Commandments to bring the conviction of sin. The law is our schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. That's why I think it's so effective just to ask somebody, have you ever told a lie? How many lies do you think you've told in your life? More. How many lies have you told your mom? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's rough, isn't it? Have you ever stolen anything, even if it was small? Is that hard to admit? What do you call somebody who steals things? A thief. Brother Don Ray, how long have you been saved?
Since I was 17.
17? Is it still hard to say that you're a thief even today after being saved for all these years?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? It's convicting, isn't it? I mean, we just go through the commandments. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever looked with lust? Jesus said, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. My favorite one is, I'm a pretty good person. I've never killed anybody. Fantastic. Have you ever hated anybody? You ever hated anybody? Moses, have you ever hated anybody? You know, the Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. See, God's standard's so high, he doesn't just look at the outward man. He looks at the inner man. He looks at our heart. And we got some of the greatest people in our church here, liars and thieves and murderers. Welcome to Calvary. No, I think it's important, though, to ask those questions, because if I just say, well, all have sinned, that doesn't bring conviction to somebody's heart. If I just say, even if you just stop with lying, people are like, well, everybody's told lies. Everybody's done that. And they don't feel conviction. And so keep giving them the law until conviction comes. And I'm telling you that if you'll give somebody the law, their mouths will be stopped. I told you about the young man who was saved at teen camp. And when I was going through the gospel with him and gave him the law, it was an amazing thing, because Jamal was a mouthy punk. I'm just telling you, he was mouthy, just all the time running his mouth. And when I began to give him the law, an amazing thing happened. He shut up. And I almost took a step back physically, because I was like, wow, because that verse came to mind. That the law came that all mouths may be stopped. And it did. It stopped his mouth. And you can see when conviction comes. You know what? The commandment that seems to get people the most. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Have you ever used God's name as a cuss word? Even just, or just without reverence or without respect. Even just saying OMG. And I'm going to tell you, I see people all the time, their countenance falls when you ask them that question. I mean, you're taking the name of the God who's given you every good thing, you're using it like a cuss word. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes the name of the Lord in vain. And I'm telling you, even a person that confesses to be an atheist, many times will get convicted about that, because they know in their heart they have disgraced their Creator. And so we give the law to bring conviction of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand that everyone has broken God's law, but we also understand that there's a penalty for our sin. For the wages of sin is death. But we need to explain that to people. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We need to make sure they understand what that means. What we're telling them is that the Word of God says there's a penalty for our sin. You go to work, you work a job, you get a wage. You live this life, you sin against God, you're going to get something for that. And what you get is death. Now, the Bible tells us that there's two deaths. There's the physical death, where your spirit leaves your body, but there's the second death, spiritual death, where your spirit is separated from God forever. We need to explain that to people. Death is separation. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 21 and verse 8, all liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We've sinned against God. We've broken his commandments. There's a penalty for that sin. And we need to make sure people understand that. If you were to die today, and God judged you according to his commandments, according to his word, would you be innocent or would you be guilty? Well, if they're honest, they're going to say guilty. So would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And if they're honest, they're going to say hell. And I always like to ask a person a question. Does that concern you? Because if it doesn't concern them, they're not in a good place. But if it concerns them, then you can say, well, do you know what God did for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell? Do you know what God did for you so you wouldn't have to take that punishment for your sin? Well, let me tell you what he did. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to take the punishment for your sin. Jesus paid your fine. You owe death, a debt you can't pay, a debt you don't want to pay. But Jesus came in and he paid your fine for you. He paid your fine, and if you'll accept that payment, he'll let you go free. Free from the punishment of your sin. God loved you so much that he died for you. Christ paid the price for our sins, even though we were sinners. And the way people get saved, friends, is through repentance and faith. Now, I know a lot of preachers today say you shouldn't use the word repent because people don't know what it means. I've figured something out, though. There's a lot of words that people don't know what they mean. And you know what? You can explain it. You can teach somebody what it means. Repentance and faith. Why would you want to use those words? I don't know, because that's what God wrote down. So repent. What does it mean? It literally means to have a change of mind. And we need to understand, or help people understand, that what they need to do is change their mind about their sin. They need to view sin as God sees it, as wicked and sinful. They need to see it as God sees it, as deserving of eternal punishment. Listen, sin is black and wicked and dark and horrible, and we don't see it that way sometimes, but we need to help people see God hates sin. And we need to repent. We need to change our mind about sin, and that change of our mind about our sin causes us to turn. But we say a lot of times repent means to turn. To turn away from sin, to turn to God. And it does, but really what it means literally is a change of mind. And because you've changed your mind about your sin, you turn away from it and you turn to God. Everybody with me tonight? So we turn from our sin. Repent. Turn from your sin and turn to God. Listen, there's a lot of people say, I ask for forgiveness every night. Wonderful. For the same thing every night, because you haven't repented. Repentance means a change. That you have no intention of committing that sin again. That's a change. And faith. Now, faith isn't just believing in God up here. What's the Bible say about the devils and their belief? Yeah, they believe in God also, and they tremble. There's a lot of people believing, oh yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. But that's not the same thing as trusting in Him with all your heart. We need to help people understand that they need to repent and they need to believe the gospel. They need to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with all their heart. Trust in Him alone. So we say, you got to repent and you got to believe the gospel. The biggest thing, friends, honestly, when we're trying to witness to people is we have to be Spirit-led. In Jude 22 and 23, the Bible says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what he's saying? You need to make a difference. You need to understand. Some people are heartbroken and they need God's compassion. They need grace. They're broken by their sin. They need grace. They need compassion. Other people are hard-hearted and they have no fear of God. They have no fear of judgment. And so they need to be warned of the fire. They need to be warned. And we've got to be Spirit-led in that. So we've given somebody the gospel. They seem to be understanding. They're convicted about it. What now? I mean, do you lead them in a prayer, or do you have them pray and then you pray, or do you pray a little part of it and then they pray a little part of it, or what? I'm going to tell you this right now. Salvation and somebody calling on the Lord is between that person and God. You can lead them in a prayer if you feel like that's what you need to do. You can ask them. You can say, when are you going to do that? Are you ready to trust Christ your Savior? And they're like, yeah, I'm ready. I need to do that right now. And you can say, well, you need to pray. You need to repent. You need to ask Christ to forgive you. You need to turn from your sin. You need to believe in Him. And they can pray right there. You can pray with them. I'm going to tell you this here more lately than anything. I have just left it with people and said, listen, this is between you and God. If you understand the gospel and you want to be saved, you get alone with God and you cry out to Him and He'll save you. I'm not a huge fan of leading people in a prayer. I'm not saying it's wrong. Sometimes it needs to be done. I'm saying that we need to be Spirit-led in the matter. Amen. I'll tell you my concern, though. I've talked to too many kids in youth group that their salvation experience is all about brother so-and-so saving them. I want to tell you right now, I'm terrified for any kid that stands before the Lord and says, Brother Isaac saved me. I want people to understand this is not about me. And when you're sharing the gospel with somebody, you need them to understand it's not about you. This is between that person and the Lord. Jesus is the one who saves. Amen. So do you lead them in a prayer? Do you have them pray? And then you pray. What do? Ask the Lord. Be led by the Spirit. Sometimes you may need to lead them in prayer, and that's not wrong. But we need to be careful. I'm going to tell you this. When I look at my Bible, you see people who wanted to get saved. I mean, the Philippian jailer sprang in when he called for a light and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, those people said, they were pricked in their heart, and they said, What must we do? What do we do? Tell us what to do. We need to be saved. I mean, when somebody wanted to be saved, there wasn't nothing getting in the way. In my personal experience, in my ministry, I pastored in Salisaw for 3 years before we took a vacation. And the first time we took a vacation in 3 years, that Sunday morning before church, a man who'd been visiting our church for almost 3 years showed up early. Brother Eddie Reichert was there to preach for me that Sunday morning. And that man came early and went to Brother Eddie and said, "I need to get saved." I was like, "Man, if you're waiting on me to go on vacation, I'd have went a long time ago." But I'm telling you, he was under conviction. He wanted to get saved, and he wasn't waiting around on somebody to say, "Okay, please say this prayer and do it like this and be sincere." No, listen, when somebody's under conviction and they know they're on their way to hell and they know Jesus is the only way to save them, there's not really anything going to get in the way of them getting saved. This is not about us coercing somebody and bringing them along. No, 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 friend. When somebody wants to get saved, who are you saved? What about you? I mean, did you have somebody twist in your arm to say, "Now say this prayer and mean it"? I don't know about you, but there wasn't anybody getting in my way of going to Jesus the night I got saved. Amen. I need nobody to coerce me. I didn't need anybody to twist my arm. I needed Jesus, and nothing was going to get in the way of that. And so what we need to do is just give them the gospel and let the Holy Spirit of God do his work. Everybody here, most of you, I can't guarantee it, but most of you, before you even make it to your house tonight, are going to come in contact with lost people. A lot of you tonight, before you ever get home, I guarantee you, before you come back to church in this building, almost everyone here will come into contact with lost people. Amen. And I'm telling you, friends, we need to take the gospel. I want you to be involved with our organized outreach. I want you to be here on Monday nights, and when the time change comes, we'll switch to Saturday mornings because there's more daylight. And all through the year, week by week, by the grace of God, we're going to go and share the gospel with our community. And I want everybody in the church to be part of that. I wish we had to use the sanctuary to have our meeting before we go out, because all of you are here. But I'm going to tell you this. That's not where it's all at. That's part of it. Where it's all at is each one of us individually being witnesses every single day as we go through our daily life. Amen. Witnessing to people at work and at school and at the store, carrying gospel tracts and giving them out and looking for opportunities. Talk to people. Be friendly to people. Give out gospel tracts. And when God opens up a door, you charge right through it with boldness and love to tell people about Jesus, who is still mighty to save. Amen. Let's get ready for an invitation tonight. While they're coming, if you're able, let's stand. I want to leave you with this tonight. I've tried to preach. I've tried to preach my heart for why we ought to be witnesses. I've tried to challenge you from the Word of God that we ought to be witnesses. I've tried to give you some practical pointers tonight in how to go through a gospel track, how to use those things, and how to just engage with people. But I want to just tell you tonight, I have no desire to persuade you with my speech. I want the Holy Spirit of God to get a hold of your heart, to give you a burden for lost souls. I want just in your heart for you to have a desire to be obedient to the Word of God. God says to be a witness, I'm going to be a witness. If God's convicted your heart, or even if you don't really have a burden, but you know I need to be obedient in sharing the gospel, if that's you tonight, I just want to challenge you to come and where you stand or here at the altar, that you get on your knees before God and say, "God, I'm sorry I haven't been the witness I need to be. And Lord, by your grace, I want to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Lord, if you'll help me, I'll take gospel tracts everywhere I go. I'll talk to anybody you'll let me. Lord, I want to be a witness for you. And maybe tonight. Well, I've been preaching, you've been thinking about somebody in particular. You got a neighbor across the road, down the street. You got somebody you've been working with. You got somebody in your school, in your class. There's somebody that God's put on your heart tonight. I beg of you to lift that person up to the Lord tonight. Mention their name to the Lord tonight while we sing.
Page 566.
The Lord's calling, would you come?